Welcome to A Beggar Who Found Bread. I'm Brad Alexander. I'm the host, and I'm a beggar. I found the bread of life, Messiah Yeshua, and I will go to great heights to let others know where I found this bread that they may taste and see. The Lord is good. This episode, Rocky Mountain Way. Just credit Joe Walsh with the title for this episode. Joe Walsh, the greatest eagle ever. Yeah, I said it. If it wasn't for Joe Walsh, I would hardly ever have listened to the Eagles. And of course, he had a great solo career as well. He gave the Eagles the edge that they needed to be an actual rock band. Otherwise, it was just like Glenn Frey and Don Henley and, you know, that other dude and blah, blah. You don't agree? Oh, okay. Well, you get all your friends, and I'm going to get all my friends, and I'll meet you after school, and we'll settle this. For real. I'm not even kidding. Yeah, that's what I thought. So, anyway, it's not about the music. It's about the message. We'll just move along here. Rocky Mountain Way. If you're a longtime listener of this podcast, you know that I'm a big fan of the feast days and holy days of the Lord Adonai. The days that Hashem ordained in Scripture that are set aside for his people to honor him. And I read somewhere recently, I think it was First Fruits of Zion, that Leviticus 23 is like the day planner of Adonai. He set aside these specific days to meet with his people. And these days are the Sabbath, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, the Feast of Weeks, also called Shavuot or Pentecost, the Day of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, we've discussed all of these at one point or another throughout this podcast, and a few of them we've done entire episodes or even multiple episodes dedicated to these feast days and these days of the Lord. Of the feast days, the one that fascinates me most, and I won't say it's my favorite because I love them all, right? It's like your children. You're not supposed to have a favorite, but I will say that the one feast day that fascinates me most is Shavuot, which is the Feast of Weeks, most commonly in Christian churches called Pentecost. I've done a couple of episodes on this incredible day. I have preached sermons, done teachings on it. I just love this day. The communication breakdown episode, on fire episode, and also in the white wedding episode. Anyway, bunch of times we've discussed it. You can check all those out when you get time. But what I love so much about this amazing day, and there's truth of this in each of the feast days, but there's just this amazing depth of and wealth to it. There's this richness that's in it, and it's like every layer that you uncover, there's another layer of something beautiful in this amazing feast day. And of course, all of the feast days, including the Sabbath, all of the feast days and days of the Lord, they all point to Yeshua, the Messiah. So the funny thing is, I wasn't planning on doing another episode or teaching on Shavuot or Pentecost because I felt like, you know, I've shared various layers of this amazing day, and I was just actually going to repost some of the prior episodes that I've done and teachings that I've done to my social media and, you know, either take a little break from doing a podcast episode or dig into something else, look into other areas. Like, in my arrogance, I was thinking, yeah, I've pretty much covered Shavuot. It's time for a new challenge. Not that I would never teach on it or speak on it again, but yeah, I kind of covered all the bases on there. And then the father was like, oh, my son, there is much more here. And yeah, wow. So, just for a quick recap, the original day of Shavuot was the day Moses ascended the mountain to receive the 10 words of Adonai, the 10 commandments. It's also referred to as the day of the Matan, meaning the day of the giving. So what was being given? The Torah, the law of Adonai, the 10 words. The day of Shavuot, or Pentecost, with which most Christians are familiar, is the day the Holy Spirit was given and poured out. And that's one layer. That's the one connection, right? Adonai gave his law to his people as a gift, and centuries later, he gives his Spirit as a gift, prophesied in Ezekiel and by the prophet Joel. There's no coincidence on the timing of these gifts. He gives his Torah, and then on the day commemorating the giving of his Torah, he pours out his Spirit, enabling his people to better walk in his truth and understand it. This is also a day of celebrating the summer harvest. A first fruits offering is given. And as the Apostle Paul said, we have received of the first fruits of God's Spirit. All these things tie in. There's so much more to it. On the original day in the desert, about 3,000 people die because of the golden calf calamity. On the Shavuot, when the Spirit was poured out, 3,000 come to new life in Messiah at the preaching of God's word by Peter. It's just amazing, all these connections. And the Matan, of course, is the gift of a bridegroom that he would give to his bride at their betrothal as a promise that he would complete their marriage. It was a promise of his return while he went to build a place for her. And Messiah sends the gift of his Spirit as his surety to his bride that he will return for her. There's so much more. So please, when you get a chance, check out those episodes, Communication Breakdown, On Fire, White Wedding, just to dig in if you're not familiar. And so I get stoked about Shavuot, and I could go on and just go, but I don't want to rehash everything from previous episodes. I'll let you do those on your schedule and your time. But for now, we're going to move on here. And I love what Adonai Elohim, the Lord our God, has done through this day. One of the traditions is for the 49 days that lead up to Shavuot. So remembering this, it's called the Feast of Weeks. You count a week's worth of weeks, 7 weeks, starting from the day of first fruits, which is during the Passover week. So you count 7 Sabbaths, 7 Shabbats. After the 7th Sabbath, which is Saturday, 7th day of the week, after the 7th Sabbath, the next day, the first day of the following week, Sunday, is Shavuot. That's the 50th day. And that's where the Greek word Pentecost comes in. It's talking about 50 days, right? It's the 50th day is when Pentecost happens. And that's why it's called the Feast of Weeks. The tradition is each of those 49 days, one of the traditions, it's called the counting of the Omer between that first fruits offering and then leading up to Shavuot, Pentecost. So one of the traditions is to read Psalm 67 each day, each of the 49 days leading up to it. And then on the day of Shavuot, you sing or read Psalms 68 and 29. The Psalms reveal so much deeper about this already mind-blowing day. So the first thing let's take a look at Psalm 67. This is a shorter psalm, and we'll read it in its entirety. This is a psalm of harvest, which makes sense, ties in with all this harvest stuff and the first fruits offerings. And Shavuot, again, a celebration of the harvest. And of course, now and in our day, since Messiah has arrived, in our day and our time, filled with the Spirit of Adonai, the Holy Spirit, we are laborers in the harvest fields as they are ready to be reaped, as Messiah said. Okay, so let's read Psalm 67. For the leader, with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. God be gracious to us and bless us. May he make his face shine towards us, so that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among the nations. Let the peoples give thanks to you, God. Let the peoples give thanks to you, all of them. Let the nations be glad and shout for joy, for you will judge the peoples fairly and guide the nations on earth. Let the peoples give thanks to you, God. Let the peoples give thanks to you, all of them. The earth has yielded its harvest. May God, our God, bless us. May God continue to bless us so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. We see, obviously, this is a psalm of harvest, and it's easy to connect with the harvest of souls Messiah has called us as his followers into. 49 days in a row, this psalm is read, the days of counting the Omer, 49 days. And then on the following day, Pentecost, Psalm 68 is read. So I urge you to please read that psalm completely, Psalm 68, because there is so much to it, particularly in light of Shavuot. Another interesting thing about this psalm, Psalm 67, it's read those 49 days, as I stated. There are 49 Hebrew words in that psalm. Yeah, because God is amazing and awesome, and he brings everything together like that. So that's how good he is. He doesn't miss the details, man. So moving on here, but again, read that Psalm 68 as well. And just keep in mind, be mindful of Shavuot, of the day of Pentecost, as you read through it. Just amazing read. And another quick nugget in Acts 1, verse 8, Yeshua said, "But you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and through all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Most people, most Christians familiar with this verse, the giving of the Spirit. And again, this is a reference to Shavuot, Pentecost. The final verse of the Pentecost Psalm in Psalm 68 says this, "O God, you are awesome from your holy places. The God of Israel gives strength and power to the people. Blessed be God." Yeah, that's the Shavuot Psalm. And Yeshua said that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. And in this psalm, again, the God of Israel gives strength and power to the people. Blessed be God. And that's just a tiny sample of the richness that's in that psalm. So I'm going to get back on track here. Let's go to verse 19 of Psalm 68. "After you went up into the heights, you led captivity captive. You took gifts among mankind, yes, even among the rebels, so that Yah, God, might live there." The Apostle Paul quoted this verse in his letter to the Ephesians, and we'll have more on that a little bit later. For now, let's look at the historical relevance to this verse and psalm, as it does not only have prophetic future meaning and relevance, speaking to Messiah, but it also refers to the original day of Shavuot, the day Moses ascended the mountain to receive the 10 words. In Exodus 19, Moses ascends Mount Sinai, and we see in verse 20, "Adonai came down onto Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. Then Adonai called Moses, to the top of the mountain, and Moshe went up." So here we see Moshe ascends. Adonai came down to meet him, but Moses had to ascend the mountain. Heaven is meeting earth in this scene, the first Shavuot. Moses ascends, as we read in Psalm 68:19, "After you went up into the heights." After you went up into the heights. And so we see Moses ascending. He's going up into the heights. Now, there's a narrative from the Talmud that speaks of an exchange between Adonai, the Holy One, and the angels, and Moses. In this narrative, the angels ask why a human is ascending to heaven to speak with Adonai. Adonai tells them it is because he will give Moses the Torah. The angels ask, what are mere mortals that you concern yourself with them, humans that you watch over them with such care? You made him a little lower. You made him but little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You had him rule what your hands made. You put everything under his feet. That's, of course, from Psalm 8, verses 4 through 6. So in this narrative, the angels ask why the Holy One would give his Torah to a man. Why give it to mankind, who are lower than the angels? And the answer is because mitzvot, commands, like remembering the Sabbath, remembering the Exodus from Egypt, you shall not lie, you shall honor your father and mother, you shall not murder, and so on. They don't apply to angels, but to mankind. Then the Torah was given to Moses, who descended the mountain with those 10 words. And again, Psalm 68, verse 19. After you went up into the heights, you led captivity captive. You took gifts among mankind, yes, even among the rebels, so that Yah, God, might live there. What gifts did Moses take from his ascended position? The Torah, the 10 words. The Hebrew understanding goes even further. The Jewish understanding goes deeper to say that in this exchange, when Moses ascended, he brought all 5 books of the Torah with him. He descended with all 5 books of the Torah. The last part of that verse, Psalm 68:19, says, you took gifts among mankind, yes, even among the rebels, so that Yah God might live there. Moses took the gifts given at his ascent, and when he descended, he shared those gifts among mankind, even rebellious people, so God might live among his people. Shavuot, again, also known as the Day of Matan, the Day of the Giving. And so here is what is being given. Now, let's take a look at Ephesians 4 to see what Paul was talking about when he quoted Psalm 68. Verse 19. Psalm 68, verse 19 will be in Ephesians chapter 4. And each one of us, we'll start at verse 7. Each one of us, however, has been given grace to be measured by the Messiah's bounty. This is why it says, after he went up into the heights, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to mankind. So Paul says each follower of Messiah is given a measure of grace, measured out by Messiah's bounty. The implication here is he's not speaking about the saving grace that is very common in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament writings. He's not talking about that grace. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a different measurement. Right? It would be consistent. It would be the same everywhere. But Paul alludes to there being different measurements here. So when we speak of grace, the Hebrew word is chen. It's spelled C-H-E-N. It's pronounced chen. And it means favor. So when we talk about that saving grace, we need to remember it is the saving favor Yeshua found in the Father's eyes as the worthy offering and sacrifice for the sin of all mankind. Favor. So here Paul speaks of this measure of favor measured out different amounts for different people. Well, what's that all about? Hang on. Slow your roll. We're going to get there. In verse 8, we see Paul invoking Psalm 68:19 regarding Yeshua, tying into the original day of Shavuot with Moses, saying that Messiah also ascended, certainly referring to both the resurrection of Messiah from the grave and Yeshua's ascension to heaven. focusing on both of those, pointing both of those things out. So in verses 9 and 10, Ephesians 4, we read, now this phrase, he went up, what can it mean if not that he first went down into the lower parts, that is, the earth? The one who went down is himself the one who also went up, far above all heaven, in order to fill all things. Yeshua descended into the lower parts of the earth in his burial. He went into the grave and ascended, being resurrected, raised up, and then ascending to the heavens. Again, after he went into the heights, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to mankind. We know that Yeshua said in John 16, verse 7, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I don't go away, the comforting counselor will not come to you. However, if I do go, I will send him to you. So, the matan, giving, as I've seen it, was, again, the original, the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. And then, as we read in Acts chapter 2, the giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Shavuot, that, again, is celebrated in Acts chapter 2. Another connection here is the tongues of fire, which are reported in Acts 2. They rested on them as it appeared tongues of fire. Most are familiar with that. See, there was also fire in Exodus 19 when Adonai descended on Mount Sinai. Additionally, in 2 Kings chapter 2, where Elijah is taken up in the chariot of fire, pulled by horses of fire, Elisha, he does not receive the double portion of Elijah's spirit until Elijah ascends. After Elijah ascends, the gift, that double portion of the Spirit, descends upon Elisha. And we study about the double portion in the On Fire episode, as well as Rise Today. You can check both of those two out regarding double portion when you get time. As I said, I've always looked at what was given on the Shavuot's, the original, and this one recorded in the book of Acts, as a gift, singular, individual gift. The Torah given on the original, and then the one Messiah fulfilled, the gift of the Spirit. The issue is, the word is plural. Gifts. Multiple gifts. After he went up into the heights, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to mankind. With the original Shavuot, the gifts are the 10 words given, the 10 commandments, each one a gift in and of its own. And again, according to Jewish understanding, the 5 books of the Torah. So we can see multiple gifts here, the 10 words and the 5 books. We see the multiple gifts there. But what about that Pentecost Shavuot in Acts chapter 2? We read of the gift of the Spirit being poured out, but the scripture says gifts. In Ephesians 4, Paul uses the same word, gifts, plural. So what gifts? The gifts being referenced actually bring context to what Paul is talking about through this whole thing, the varying measures of grace or favor that have been doled out to different people. What gifts did Yeshua give after he ascended, and then by the Spirit he descended, giving those gifts to mankind? What gifts did he give? It says it right there in Ephesians chapter 4. He gave some people as the emissaries, some as the prophets, some as the proclaimers of good news, and some as the shepherds and the teachers. Their task is to equip God's people for the work of service that builds the body of Messiah until we all arrive at the unity implied by trusting and knowing the Son of God at the full manhood, at the standard of maturity set by the Messiah's perfection. The gifts, apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. These are the gifts and where the varying measures of favor come in. And remember, to underscore that a little bit, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, he gave first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, different anointings, if you will, different measures of favor on each one, because each gift requires something a little bit different for the individual. Additionally, I believe we can certainly connect the gifts, plural, with the gifts of the Spirit, which are recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll begin at verse 7. Moreover, to each person is given the particular manifestation of the Spirit that will be for the common good. To one, through the Spirit, is given a word of wisdom. To another, a word of knowledge in accordance with the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to judge between spirits. To another, the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues. And to yet another, the ability to interpret tongues. One and the same Spirit is at work in all these things, distributing to each person as he chooses. For just as the body is one, but has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, constitute one body, so it is with the Messiah. For it was by one Spirit that we were all immersed into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Lots there, and for another time, Lord willing, for another time, we'll dig into some of that stuff. It's amazing. To further validate the different measures of grace in Ephesians 4, 7, and 8, Paul asks the rhetorical questions. We can refer to 1 Corinthians 12 again, where he says, not all are emissaries, are they? Not all are prophets, are they? Or teachers? Or miracle workers? He's asking these rhetorical questions, and the answer to each one of them is no. No, not all are. Not everybody does these things. And a little more. We see in Numbers chapter 11, Moses, he selects 70 men, 70 elders. Hashem gives each one of them a portion of the Spirit which was on Moses. He gives them each a portion of the Spirit that was on Moses, and this is after Moses ascended. In 2 Kings, all of Elijah's disciples, they got a portion of his Spirit when he ascended. Elisha, he got the double portion of the Spirit, but all of the disciples received a portion of the Spirit of Elijah when he ascended. After Yeshua ascends, he gives portions of his Spirit to those who follow him. Shavuot is the gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. It started in the Sinai Desert with the giving of the Torah, the 10 words and 5 books. And then centuries later, the giving of the Spirit plus the 9 gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12, that equals 10. And the gifts which are listed in Ephesians 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, yeah, there's 5 of them. Adonai Elohim, the Lord our God, is so consistent and so amazing. At the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, the people spoke in other tongues so that they were understood in the languages of all who were hearing them. In this, Adonai has ensured that his word, his Torah, which was given on the original day of Shavuot, would be understood in all the 70 core languages, again, as he poured out his Spirit on the day of Shavuot. The giving of the Torah, and the giving of the Spirit, that those who follow Messiah can understand and obey the Torah of God. Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting at verse 10. However, all this will happen only if you pay attention to what Adonai your God says, so that you obey his mitzvot and regulations, which are written in this book of the Torah. If you turn to Adonai your God with all your heart and all your being, for this mitzvah, which I am giving you today, is not too hard for you. It is not beyond your reach. It isn't in the sky, so that you need to ask, who will go up to the sky for us, bring it to us, and make us hear it so that we can obey it? Likewise, it isn't beyond the sea, so that you need to ask, who will cross the sea for us, bring it to us, and make us hear it so that we can obey it? On the contrary, the word is very close to you, in your mouth, even in your heart. Therefore, you can do it. The Torah is not too hard, nor is it beyond our reach. We don't have to ascend to get it. Moses ascended, and Hashem gave it to him to present to mankind as gifts. Paul even quotes what I just read from Deuteronomy 30. Paul quotes this in Romans 10. Moreover, the righteousness grounded in trusting says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to the heaven? That is, to bring the Messiah down, or who will descend into Sheol? That is, to bring Messiah up from the dead. What then? What then does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word about trust, which we proclaim, namely, that if you acknowledge publicly with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord, and trust in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be delivered. The word is very close to you, in your mouth, even in your heart. Therefore, you can do it. The message is the same. Adonai has always wanted us to trust, have faith, and obey him. He's done the work and provided the gifts to do it. And again, we are without excuse. He has done all the work. He has provided the gifts for us, and he has done the atoning work on the crucifix, offering the perfect atoning sacrifice that we could be reconciled to him. He has done that work. He has done the work of providing us with his Torah. He has provided us with his Spirit and gifts that we can trust and obey him, walking in faith in his ways. We are without excuse, my brothers and sisters. Shavuot. Oh. It's this seemingly never-ending outpouring of gifts from Adonai. It's so amazing. It's so beautiful. I pray that you will study to show yourselves approved of God. Please dig into it and see the beauty of all of God's holy days. These feast days of Adonai, they're so amazing, and they all point to Messiah, Yeshua. Why would we not celebrate and observe them? These are his appointed times, the times he set apart on the calendar for us to meet with him, for him to meet with his people. I personally don't want to miss out on those appointments, and I trust and pray that you don't either. There is a lost and dying world out there that desperately needs what we have, the bread of life, Messiah Yeshua. Thank you for giving me your time. Now, let's go out and give him heaven. Shalom.